Well, good morning, my Sherwood Baptist family. You doing good this morning? Amen. Well, it is a blessing and privilege to be with you this morning. My wife, Shanae, and I are always blessed to be with you, and we love this church. Amen. We love Pastor Paul, Bria. We love the whole family and team here. And each one of you have played such a pivotal role in our journey as a church that we have now existed for 11 years in one of the hardest places to reach in America, to the glory of God. And this church is one of the reasons why we still exist. And so thank you so much for your prayers. I love that I still get prayer cards and get prayer requests that you guys are praying for us all the way in New Orleans. Today, we're going to be in the book of Ephesians. And so if you have a copy of the Word of God, we'll be in Ephesians chapter 1. And we're actually only going to look at a few verses of Scripture from Ephesians 1, verses 11 through 14. My hope and prayer this morning, and even in the songs that we're singing, is that you be rooted in the hope you have in Christ. As we look at this message this morning, we're going to see how we're saved, sealed, and secure. And how that should lead us to pursue the Lord even more. The word of the Lord in Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 11, says this to us. In him, we've also received an inheritance, because we were predestined according to the plan of the one who works out everything in agreement with the purpose of his will, so that he who had already put our hope in Christ might bring praise to his glory. In him you also were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed. The Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the possession to the praise of his glory. Amen. You know, I remember growing up, that was something that was popular back in my day. I guess I can say that when you're over 40 now, you know? I don't know, maybe it was popular because we didn't have a lot of money, but maybe some of you can relate to this. Anybody remember layaway? All right, some of you can remember that. Well, layaway was extremely popular when I was growing up. I remember my mom putting down layaway for Christmas and different things, and she would put down a little down payment on that layaway, and then she'll come back periodically to pay on it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But sometimes, mysteriously, that layaway would disappear. She didn't have the money to keep paying on that thing. But you know, it's not that way with the Lord. What we have in the Lord does not disappear because he forgets to make a payment on it. No, in Christ, what we have is secure. It is guaranteed. It is promised to us. And how we can know this is because all the things that we have are fulfilled in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And because of his finished work, he has given us a guarantee of this promise, which is the filling of the Holy Spirit. And this morning, we can rest that what Christ has done for us is enough, that the redemption is the work of our triune God, God the Father sending the Son paying for our redemption, and now the Spirit filling us as a guarantee of that promise. In fact, I want you to get this truth. If you don't hear anything else, I want you to just grab onto this, because this sums up the message as a whole, that believers are adopted into God's family as sons and daughters and receive a secure spiritual inheritance through Jesus Christ. Believers, each one of us, if you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, my new brothers and sisters who are just baptized, if you've been saved for a second or a long time, no, we have been adopted into God's family, and as sons and daughters, we receive a secure spiritual inheritance through Jesus Christ. So as a result of that, in Christ, here's our first point, we have a glorious inheritance. I love this again in verse 11 and 12. In him, we have also received an inheritance because we were predestined according to the plan of the one who works out everything in agreement with the purpose of his will, so that we, who had already put our hope in Christ, might bring praise to his glory. Now, the first verses of Ephesians, if you go back and read it, it's really one long run-on sentence. I know in school, our teachers told us not to write with a long run-on sentence, but Paul does that here. He writes this one long run-on sentence, and it's all just simply praise to the goodness of God. He writes so that they would remember what God had done through Jesus Christ, praising the Lord. In fact, Paul continues the same vein of thought in verses 11 through 14. Now, lest we forget, Paul is writing to believers in Asia Minor. Now, this is very important because Paul is writing to a Gentile-filled church. That means he's writing to those who are not Jewish believers. And this is important because he writes a church and he calls them the saints of God. Now, this is not talking about the Saints, the best football team in America. I gotta say that. It's talking about the church. Now, the Apostle Paul continues here to discuss what we have in Christ. In him, we've received something great. Well, what is it? It is an inheritance. Now, I want you to notice something. Those who are already in Christ have been predestined to a future something, but we also have it now. This is that already not yet motif. Paul is playing on something here. He's showing us that in Christ we have an inheritance, but it will be fully realized on that day of redemption. So we have it now, but when Christ returns, when he comes, it will be fully realized. And this is the hope that keeps us going. In him we receive because we are God's personal possession. Have you thought about that? That you, if you are in Christ Jesus, you belong to him. That no height, no demon, nothing can separate you from the love of God. You are God's personal possession. You are his. If you're in Christ Jesus, that should give you immense rest and peace that you belong to the Lord. In fact, we have a special place in God that we could not earn or muster. We are in him because of what Christ has done. Now think through this. Paul is writing to a primarily Gentile audience of Christians. And he's saying to them, you, although you are Gentiles, although you are non-Jews, you now have been grafted into this thing and you are God's possession as well. Well, we say, why does this matter? Well, this is going to tie in later, but we see what Paul is saying in here is that in him we, the body of Christ, Jew and Gentile together, we all, those who've placed their faith and trust in Christ, both Jew and Gentile, now receive an inheritance. And the good news is the inheritance is equally given out. It is all found in Christ. And part of this inheritance is evident from the outset that we are God's possession. And the hope we have in Christ is that God claims all those who are his. He claims us as belonging to his family. Now think about this. If you are in this room this morning and you are a follower of Christ and you may not have a strong family or you may not have a strong backing that you can turn to, in Christ you're given an entire family. You have a family that is called the church. And guess what? In God's kingdom, he's not kicking out his children. They're secure. They're found in him. If you're in this room this morning, you've not placed your faith and trust in Christ, and you're wondering, man, where can I find security? Where can I find hope? It is found in him. And he welcomes you to come to him this morning. But in Christ, we are his people. and he is our God, and our inheritance is God. So whatever he has is now ours. In fact, Paul goes on in Ephesians to tell us that every spiritual blessing that is found in Christ Jesus now belongs to us as well. In the verses before this, Paul reminds the believers that all things, everything, were being brought together in Christ Jesus. In fact, if you see in your Bible right there in verse 10, as a plan for the right time to bring everything together in Christ, both things in heaven and things on earth in him. So the culmination of all things, the reason why we live this life, is to the glory of Jesus Christ. All things being brought together in him. Here's a truth that can bring us comfort. God's purpose and plan for his people will prevail. As he is working all things together according to his perfect will. Think about that. God's purpose and his plans cannot be thwarted. That means nothing can stop his plan from happening. When we hear often about churches closing and the decline of Christianity in America and all these things that are going on, man, but you just heard a testimony a few moments ago of how God's kingdom is still advancing. Think about this. You're a part of a move of God right here in your church and seeing people come to faith in Christ. That's God's kingdom advancing. Have you looked around and saw that God is working right here in Southwest Georgia, using this church to impact not only this area, but all across the world? That is God's kingdom at work. And guess what he's doing? He's working all things together for his glory and for his plan that will prevail over all things. When was the last time outside of a Sunday morning you gave God thanks for how he's working in your church? Like, let me help you out with a little something here. When something changes in your local church, don't be quick to criticize. Turn to the Lord and give thanks for what he's doing. Amen. When things are happening around your local church and you say, man, this, it happened, this decision was made. But guess what? Do you still see God working? Give God praise that, guess what? His plans are advancing around you. And then say, Lord, I want to be a part of your kingdom advancing right where I am. But you say, that's great, Pastor. I hear you saying that for the church, but what about me? Well, here's the thing. We can have hope and joy in this promise for ourselves as well. Because we can say, God, you know what? You're working all things in my life as a saint of God for your glory. Think about it. Although we may struggle in this life, our God is faithful to finish the work he began in us. We see that God is bringing all things together in Christ. He's predestined to us according to the plan of the one who works out everything according to the purpose of his will. That means no matter where you find yourself this morning, God's plan is moving forward in your life. The truth is, often discouragement can cause us to throw in the towel. It can cause us not to pray. It can cause us not to seek after the Lord. But the Bible here tells us that God is working things together for the purpose of his will. In fact, Isaiah 46:10 says it this way. I declare, this is the Lord talking, the end from the beginning. And from long ago, what is not yet done, saying, my plan will take place and I will do all my will. Now, I know we're sitting there and thinking, man, you know what? I have the best plan for my life. But the truth is, if we're really honest, how's that really working out for us? We plan stuff and it still messes up. God plans stuff. The devil tries to work against it. The world tries to push against it and it still prevails. So I would say for us, we need to yield our will to God's will. For our church, we need to say, God, let your will be done. For our lives, we need to say, God, let your plan prevail. And God, I may feel as if I know what's best, but God, you truly are the one who knows what is best for my life and for our church as well. Why? Our ultimate goal is to bring him glory. This is our primary purpose as the body of Christ, as the saints of God. It is to give glory to the one who's redeemed us, to praise his holy name. And so Paul writes to the Gentiles, reminding them of their inheritance. He reminds them that they belong to Christ. And all that he has is now theirs, and no one can take this away. In short, he's saying to them, you Gentiles were not an afterthought in the plan of God. No, my friends, God had you on his mind. We do realize that the nations have always been on the heart of God. The nations, every ethnic group, every people group have always been on the heart of God. And Paul is saying, look, you Gentile believers, you were on the plan of God. How do we know this? Because they receive an inheritance from heaven. Notice Paul says here in verse 12, so that we, who had already put our hope in Christ, might bring praise to his glory. Now, who already believed? Now, many commentators believe Paul is talking about or referencing believing Jews or Jewish Christians. He's saying, look, we who had already trusted in him, right, we have this hope, we have this inheritance, but the gospel went from now the Jew to now the Gentile. And in the plan of God, he predestined a people unto himself. And these people were called for a purpose, that the Messiah would come through them. Yet as a promise was made to Abraham that the nations will be blessed through him, this promise is now fulfilled in Christ Jesus. And Paul is really just giving a reminder to these Gentile believers that, look, you are a part of the plan of God. You received this inheritance. And now we, both Jew and Gentile, are one in Christ Jesus. Now, in our context, we don't have the Jew and Gentile kind of motif happening around us, but we can take it and look at it. Look, it doesn't matter what background you come from. It could be black, it could be white, it could be Hispanic, it could be whatever. In Christ, he is redeeming all people that come to himself. And Paul says, look, you are not an afterthought. You have the inheritance that is found in Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters in the Lord, if you're sitting there this morning, maybe you are discouraged because this walk with Jesus just seems too hard and you're going down the narrow way and you say, Lord, this seems too impossible and you feel so discouraged. Can I tell you, discouragement does not remove the inheritance of God. Satan can come with every lie. He can come with everything to try to trip you up. It's not going to remove the inheritance of God. So my brother and sister in the Lord, I want you to be encouraged in the Lord and pursue after him to know that what you have in Christ is secure. We don't earn it. We don't strive for it in that sense, but we pursue after the one who is pursued after us. So in the plan of God, the Lord has called a people to himself for a purpose. So my brother and sister in the Lord, we exist for a purpose, to glorify him. And we're doing that this morning. That's part of why we're gathering, because we're glorifying the one who's redeemed us. And God has called us to that. And we want others to be a part of that as well. Why? Because believers are filled and sealed by the Holy Spirit. I love this as we keep just working down. In him, you also. Notice, he tells us, look, we who once believed, we have it. It's been given to you guys. And now he makes this point. In him, you also were sealed with the promise, Holy Spirit, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed. Now, Paul's words here in verse 13, remember that layaway example we started off with? Well, our being sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit is not that. See, the layaway example depends solely on what you can do. How you can pay for it, how you can muster up all these things, and then you receive it. Last time I checked, we didn't put anything down on our salvation. It is Christ and Christ alone. We place our faith and trust in him. It is by grace through faith that we're saved. And this is Paul's point that he gives him even in Ephesians, that it is the finished work of Christ that we rest in. And as a result of that, we receive so much from him. Those who place their faith and trust in him, as Paul is telling us here, are welcomed into his family. And as a result, God says, I've promised eternal life and a new covenant with my people. And remember, this is going from Jew to now Gentile, and everything is changing. Because now, as before, to show that you were the people of God, you needed one thing. You needed a clear demarcation line in the sand, and that was circumcision. But now, Paul says, there's no need for any type of circumcision because Christ has fulfilled the demands and the requirements of the law. Now, the way we know you are the people of God is that you've been filled with his spirit as evidence that you have new life. When's the last time you praised the Lord for the filling of the Holy Spirit? You say, hold on now, we're not charismatic here. No. Here's the thing. This is good theological truth. Amen. That we praise the Father, we praise the Son, we praise the Spirit. Why? Because the Trinity is at work in our redemption. And the Spirit of God fills his people as the assurance that you belong to him. On the day of Pentecost, it was Jews from all different backgrounds, but now it is Gentiles who are filled with the Spirit. Those who were once outside are now the people of God. And the church now comprises of both Jew and Gentile, but this is the point Paul is making. Each person, Jew or Gentile, is now filled with the Spirit of God. Again, we see the work of our triune God in our salvation. There was recently a debate, and I bring this up just to make a point of why theology matters. There was recently a debate by a person who was claiming to be a Christian. I'm going to say after this point I'm going to give you, he is not. And he made the point that people who have my level of melanin, because we all have melanin, some of us got a little bit more than others. People that look like me, he said, are not able to be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. It is a real debate going on right now. This is when you don't understand the gospel and you're more a follower of Satan than Jesus. But the scripture I see before us right here says, all whoever comes, no matter if you are black, if you're white, if you're this, if you're that, when you trust in Christ Jesus, you are filled with his spirit and sealed until the day of redemption. That promise is for you if you're broke or if you're rich, if you're this or you're that. If you come and bow at the knee of Jesus Christ, he welcomes you into his family and says, you are mine and I'm going to fill you with my spirit and seal you until that day of redemption. And now you are my prized possession. Again, Paul says, you are sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. But the question could be asked, well, what does it mean to be sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit? Well, we need to clarify what the text is saying here. You are sealed at the moment you believe, not after. So to be sealed is in line with belonging to Christ Jesus. And why do I make this point? Well, Paul, look what he says here. When you heard the word of truth, verse 13, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed. So Paul says, you hear the gospel, and what is the gospel? The good news of Jesus Christ. that Jesus Christ came and lived the life we could never live. He died the death that we deserve. He, upon himself, took upon the very wrath of God for our sin. He was punished on our behalf. He was laid in a tomb. He was buried for 3 days, but rose again on that third day in all might and all might and all power. He's the one who holds the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and he is the one who extends eternal life to those who place their faith and trust in him. When you believed in that, as a subsequent result, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. When the text talks about being sealed, it conveys this idea of authenticity and ownership. Even more, it speaks that we are designated and secure. See, in Christ, the Spirit is the seal on our lives, showing that we belong to him. Well, you may say, well, I don't feel like I belong to him. Well, I would encourage you, what Paul is saying here, look back again to what you believed in and on. You believe the gospel, yes. You believe I'm saved by grace through faith, not of my works, yes. You've trusted in Jesus Christ alone, that he was buried and rose again, that he is your savior. Look back to that again, which you heard the good news that Christ saves. Rest in that, not in yourself, and by faith know he has sealed you. Amen. That the Spirit has made this truth come alive to you, and you believe. You place your faith and resting in Christ, therefore, are filled with the Holy Spirit. I love Ephesians 4:30, as Paul goes on to say about the Holy Spirit here, and don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Why? Why should we not grieve the Holy Spirit of God? Well, he tells us, you were sealed by him. For what purpose? For the day of redemption. So the day when he comes and he returns, guess what? God knows whose are his. He knows exactly who his children are. He knows who belongs to him. And the evidence is shown in our lives because we're sealed with the Spirit. Understand, the work of the Holy Spirit is part of our salvation. And this is why this point is so good, because in God's kingdom, there are no second-class citizens. In God's kingdom, there's not a shady area that's called, oh, that's the hood of heaven over there. That's the country club of heaven. No. In God's kingdom, all his citizens are first class, stamped, sealed citizens and will never be deported out of it. We belong to him and we're people filled with the Spirit of all backgrounds for his glory. Yet not only is our salvation authentic, the church belongs to him, and it's filled with those who trusted and believed in him. This is why a church like this is why it feels different. For those of you maybe here for the first time, or you come and you heard what the young lady said who was baptized, I saw the love of God. How in the world do you see the love of God? It is through the people of God who are filled with the Spirit of God that are overflowing and can't help but to overflow on other folks. So if you're sitting there wondering, man, what makes a church like this so different? It's because we're filled with the Spirit, we love Jesus, and we belong to him. That's why you don't have to put on a show here. This is why you can just come in and the Lord Jesus changes folks. So those who've trusted and believed in him, this means the church is a place where true hope resides. When you feel as if your salvation is not secure or real, you have to look back to this promise. And if you're wondering, well, will I make into his kingdom? Well, don't look to yourself. Look to Christ. Look again, once again, to the gospel. Lean on the gospel once again. Again, look at verse 14. The Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the possession to the praise of his glory. So the Holy Spirit, Paul says here, is our down payment. And I love this language. We have a guarantee. Now, I love this because it's a guarantee we don't have to pay on. Praise the Lord. We don't have to keep paying on it. Why? Because we couldn't afford it in the first place. We were bankrupt, and yet Jesus himself comes and pays our debt. It is he who paid for it. It is by the finished work on the cross once and for all. And this deposit that he's talking about guarantees our inheritance. So Paul uses this word throughout his writings to reference the Spirit of God. Anytime he's talking about the Holy Spirit, he's talking about in relation to what we're guaranteed and how we have this security. Essentially, it's a commercial term for a down payment or this first installment that we have. But in Christ, we have been filled with the Holy Spirit, and we have a taste of what is to come. And it is glorious. It is good. It is life-changing. Yet the taste we have is not some appetizer, but it's gloriously great to the praise of God the Father. As a follower of Christ, we are free then, because we're filled with the Spirit, to pursue after him, to go hard after the Lord, to lay our lives down because we are secure in Christ. We're called to yield more of our lives to the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is God's first installment to guarantee to his children that he will finish the work that he began in us. That his work will be done, and eventually he will bring them to glory. That should help us breathe a sigh of relief that God is doing the work. I love this in 1 John 3:1-3. See what great love the Father has given us that we should be called God's children. And I love this last part. He makes it very emphatic. And we are. I love that. And we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it didn't know him. Dear friends, we are God's children now. And what will be has not yet been revealed. It seems like John is saying the same point Paul is making. You have what you have now, but yet it will be fully realized on the day of redemption. That is exactly what he's saying. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him as he is. Praise the Lord. And everyone who has, again, this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Essentially saying, you're filled with the Spirit, my brothers and sisters. You are a child of God. And if you have this hope, now pursue after him. Come after the Lord. Follow him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Give yourself to the work of God that's happening at your local church. Give, pray, serve, do the work of the ministry. Go on mission. Live for the glory of God so that others who may not have this hope can have the hope that is only found in Jesus Christ. Warren Wiersbe said it this way. We often have the idea that God saves sinners mainly because he pities them or wants to rescue them from eternal judgment. But God's main purpose is that he might be glorified. His creation reveals his wisdom and power, but his church reveals his love and grace. You cannot deserve or earn these spiritual riches. You can only receive them by grace through faith. And if you're in this room this morning, you've not received these spiritual riches, it can be received this morning by looking to Jesus, by trusting in him alone, and he pours those out liberally. Again, nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus, as we are sealed for the day of redemption. I love this reality that God, unlike my mom at times, and God bless her, she'll miss a layaway payment and all of a sudden it's gone. But the finished work of Christ, his blood placed on that mercy seat, paid for it once and for all. We are secure in that and can trust that Jesus has done the work, and we can rest in that. God has given a full assurance and guarantee how? By sealing and filling us with his Spirit. I come from a background that would teach me that I was not filled with the Spirit, that I needed something else in order to be sure that I was filled with the Spirit. I lived in existence for a long time like the person with the rose petals. He loves me, he loves me not. I belong to him, maybe not. Until I got in the Word for myself and understood that no, in Christ Jesus, when I trusted in him, I was sealed, and now the Lord says, you're mine. Oh, I love this truth because I didn't hear that often growing up as a young boy, just having that affirmation of just someone telling me, you belong to me and you're mine. I'm so proud to have you, but I have a Father in heaven who tells me often, you're my child. And I'm coming back for you. But until that day, I want you to live for my glory. So the days where I'm feeling down and out, the days where Satan is attacking me, the days where it gets hard living in a city like New Orleans, I have to turn back to the gospel that I once trusted in and root myself there again and say, no, I am sealed, I am secure, and I am saved because of the finished work of Christ Jesus. Again, we're not on God's layaway plan, but the blood of Jesus Christ has fully redeemed us. I want to give you some thoughts on how to apply this. Here's the first question I want you to wrestle with. What is God calling you to remember? Maybe God is calling you to remember the good news of the gospel once again. But where is God calling you to give thanks? Some of us, if I'm honest, can be like cold water Christians. What I mean is that instead of fanning the flame, we just got to pour. We got to be negative on everything. But maybe God is calling you to give thanks once again for the goodness of Jesus and the hope you have. What about this? How is God leading you to live out that you are adopted, secure, and sealed? And maybe you're in this room this morning as we are going to move into a time of response and prayer. Maybe you are in this room this morning and you are not a follower of Christ and you're not sure where you're going to end up when life ends or on that day when Christ returns. Jesus is welcoming you to come to him today. Or maybe you're a believer this morning, you're just discouraged. I just can't sense God's presence. I don't know if God is right there with me. And maybe you need to come back to remember. Wherever you find yourself, what if the Holy Spirit is calling you to respond in this moment through prayer, to come to Christ? Or maybe saying, you know what, I've trusted in Christ and I need to publicly profess that. Wherever you find yourself, can we go to the Lord in prayer? And can we ask the Lord to touch our hearts? As we'll have leaders that are going to be up front to receive you, maybe the Holy Spirit is calling you in this moment to say yes, to place it all in front of him, say, Lord, I need you. I'm going to pray. If you need to respond in this moment, we have pastors and their wives are here to receive you. But you can come forward. Father, we thank you for the glorious truth that we are saved, sealed, and secure. But Lord, there may be those who are among us, God, who don't have that assurance. There may be those among us, God, who are not yet followers of Christ, but the Spirit of God is drawing them. Maybe there are brothers and sisters who are being attacked by the evil one. Maybe they're being attacked by the world, the flesh, and the devil. God, I know that you know where they are. And maybe they need just a special touch from you. Father, I pray that as we say amen, those who need you, those who need to respond in this moment, would move forward. God, we're careful to give you thanks and praise. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you need prayer, respond. Come forward and be blessed by the Lord.